Hi. Today we're going to have a look at Mexico's recently passed securities law and how to illustrate some of the themes we've been talking about trust, finance, and law. Lending someone money or giving them money to invest equity in their firm clearly requires a lot of trust. The problem is that trust is scarce. We don't have a lot of it. We need a law to generate trust. And in many developing countries, the law itself is not trusted. The law doesn't work very well. So in order to lend or in order to invest, people often just have to rely on family or friends. They have to rely on extra legal social sanctions or social pressure. If you want to go beyond family firms, if you want to go beyond family lending, however, you need law. So consider something even as simple as collecting on a bounced check. In many countries, the legal system is so Byzantine and inefficient that it takes a long time and is very costly to collect on a bounced check. As a result, there isn't much trust and there isn't much lending. Same thing with renting a home. So if you rent a home and the renter doesn't pay, and you don't have social sanctions, the renter is not family or friends, then how do you evict them? You need the legal system. But to evict someone, if the legal system, again, isn't working well, that can take an awfully long time. As a result, in many developed countries, even though there's a fairly well-functioning market to buy a house, because the money and the house change place at the same time, it's a simultaneous exchange, the rental market in developing countries tends to be much, much more restricted because you don't have trust and you don't have a legal system which can help you to generate trust. Or consider the problem of venture capital. In venture capital, we have what Cooter and Schaefer in their book Solomon's Knot call a double trust problem. The lender, the venture capitalist, is afraid that the entrepreneur is going to make off with their money or fritter it all away. The entrepreneur is afraid that the lender is going to take their idea. So in order to get around this, you need really quite sophisticated law. You need sophisticated contract law, corporate law, non-disclosure agreements, and so forth in order to generate enough trust to make these agreements happen. Or think about how difficult it is to get a legal system where people trust enough so that they're willing to invest in the stock market, or they're willing to invest in the bond market. This is really a big leap to invest in the stock market, to give somebody money, to get ownership in a firm where you yourself are not an insider. You yourself will not be running the firm, but you must trust that the people running the firm are going to run it for the benefit of all the shareholders, even the minority shareholders, even the small shareholders. That is a significant trust problem, and it can only be solved by a complex, well-developed body of corporate law, of directorships, of fiduciary responsibilities, of penalties for inside dealing and for ripping off your fellow shareholders and so forth. It requires a sophisticated legal system to generate enough trust so that people are able to invest their retirement earnings in something as nebulous as the stock market. You're investing ownership in a firm which you may never even see. That requires a lot of trust, requires a lot of sophisticated law. So as we saw in our discussion of the financial system, the bridge between savers and borrowers, the bridge between savers and people who have productive ideas for investment, this financial institution's bridge can be broken in many different ways, including, for example, by insecure property rights. This can happen directly from the government, as when Argentina, for example, expropriates bank accounts, or when people fear that Greece will expropriate bank accounts. Insecure property rights, however, can also come from private sources. So one of the reasons that stock markets and bond markets are small relative to GDP in developed countries is that people in these countries fear that if they lend or if they buy shares in a firm, they fear that insiders will rip them off. Minority shareholders fear or believe that they will not be well treated by insiders, that instead of using their information to increase the value of the firm for all shareholders, the insiders will use their information to expropriate wealth from minority shareholders, from minority lenders, and instead transfer that wealth to themselves. That's a type of insecure property rights. The minority shareholders are insecure about their property rights in the firm, and this is one reason why stock markets are actually quite rare around the world, right? Not a lot of firms actually are able to raise money on stock markets. Let's look at Mexico as an example. So Mexico has traditionally had a very small financial system relative to the size of its economy. It's had small stock markets, not very much foreign investment relative to the size of its economy. So in 2004, for example, Mexico had only 150 companies listed on the stock exchange. 60% of them were controlled by a single shareholder. Well, part of the problem was that nobody wanted to invest in Mexican companies because if you weren't that single large shareholder, you were likely to be ripped off. Subsidiaries, for example, they didn't even have to comply with corporate governance requirements. So everything was channeled through the subsidiary. Minority shareholders had difficulty verifying what the managers were doing with their money. The result was that insider deals were frequent. Money was channeled out of the company into the shareholders, the controlling shareholders' pockets. This is sometimes called tunneling. As someone said in Mexico, when you have rich businessmen, you have poor companies. So in order to address some of these problems, Mexico created a new securities law that came into effect in 2006. The new law defined more clearly the duties of company directors, in particular that the directors had a duty to all of the shareholders. Moreover, it heightened disclosure requirements for transactions with company insiders. So one of the ways in which insiders used to rip off the outside shareholders is they would take a nominally public company, and that company would then buy from a private company, which was controlled by the insider, and it would buy at artificially high prices in order to shift profits from the public company to the private company and therefore into the hands of the company insider. This was reduced with now these new disclosure requirements. The new law required committees of independent board members to review compensation and related party transactions for publicly traded companies. It lowered the threshold for minority shareholders to sue for damages. And a new, more transparent corporate form was created so that corporations could signal, you know, we are going to be in this more transparent form so you can freely and with security invest with us. The result of all this was a dramatically increasing stock market and more foreign investment.